number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a great day to this point. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass as always. Little news out of NASCAR. Commissioner was longtime president. Steve Phelps will step away at the end of the month and resign. This is due to some fallout from the lawsuit.
It's a good thing or bad thing?
I like Steve. I think it's a good thing. Because I think Steve O'Donnell probably needs to be running things.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
See where it goes,
man. NASCAR is going to change because of that lawsuit. So,
in what way?
The France family is not going to have as much power as they've had for 70-some years.
So what does that mean? I'm ignorant when it comes to this.
It means more say by the teams and hopefully the drivers.
What would be the biggest change?
Well, they'll have a model similar to that of other sports, like the NBA or the NFL, and where the teams will have more say on some things where it's not just the France family, a.k.a. the sanctioning body, making all the rules.
Okay. So, all right. Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's something that needed to happen.
More involving. All right. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll find out more next month in Daytona. Wink, wink.
Yeah. We just might. You never know.
All right. So there are these openings in the National Football League. Right now there's six openings, you know, the players. And so I was looking at the Arizona Cardinals, right? It's a hapless organization. And there's only been, going back to 1962 in their history, and there's been, I think, like 18 head coaches. Only one in that time has had a winning record in Arizona. Right? Only one coach in that time. Now, I'm adding one more at the end here who did pretty well and they got rid of him. But the Cardinals, I mean, you talk about, well, you can win. I don't think you could win that job. I think you could win here. Bruce Arians went 49-30 from 2013 to 17. He replaced Ken Wisenhunt, who was under 500. Don Coryell in the 70s was 27, and he went 42-27.
Bidwell, Jeffrey Bidwell, or what's his name?
Bill Bidwell.
Bill Bidwell.
There's a bunch of Bidwells in there. Some organizations.
They don't bid well.
You're not going to win on. So you had our friend Coach Mack. He was 17-40. Dennis Green, 16-32. Wisenhunt, 45-51. And yes, he got to the Super Bowl with Kurt Warner. Bruce Arians, 49-30. Then Steve Wilks, 3-13. Kingsbury, 28-37. And then Jonathan Gannon, 15-36 record there. It's just a truly Titans fans. I guess what I'm getting at. It could be worse.
It could be the Cardinals.
It could. There's no history of anything here.
Yeah.
Right? Titans are eerily similar to this. I mean, they've won some games in the playoffs and here and there, but the Cardinals haven't done squat, man.
Do you, though, like, here's the thing. And I know there are some Titans fans that are probably going through this today. Do you feel like with now the power structure restored to how it needs to be and Borgonzi leading this, that it's like, man, they might actually fix it? I got to see it to believe it.
Right.
But they might actually fix it.
What's the identity of this franchise?
They don't have one.
Yeah.
So create one. And the new coach is going to be part of that process.
What was the identity under Jeff Fisher?
Defense, run game, like really stifling defense, a really good run game, and a quarterback that, you know, you could break every bone in his body and he'd still go out there and play.
I think, and Derek Mason could, and Chris Sanders could talk more to this. I think they were prepared.
They were.
They were prepared.
Jeff's teams, you could always count on a couple of things. They would have a really good offensive line, because Munchak would make sure they did. They had a hell of a defense, whether that was Greg Johnson or Schwartz or – not Greg Johnson, Greg Williams.
Greg Williams.
Jim Schwartz.
Or Chuck Cecil.
Not so much Chuck Cecil. But, you know, Jeff with a defensive background made sure. And then, you know, under Steve, you just had a quarterback that was built different, and then you had really good run games.
Yeah. I mean, so you had power football. I mean, it's some good power. I mean, offensive line.
You think about the running backs from this organization, this franchise, the fact that you have one that's in the Hall of Fame in Earl Campbell, one that was borderline in Eddie George. I don't really think Chris Johnson was borderline, but he had a 2,000-yard season, was really good. Okay. Derrick Henry will be.
Okay. No organization in football has drafted more impactful running backs than the Oilers / Titans.
Yes. Yeah.
Nobody comes close. Now, Cowboys, pretty good with Dorsett and Emmett, but that's two. Am I leaving somebody out with the Cowboys? Don't give me Zeke.
He was pretty good.
He ain't the level of
no,
the
but he
we
was pretty
about.
Good for a handful of years. You said Dorsett. Herschel didn't make much of an impact there.
No,
but,
so there's
but
not.
Now, he made an impact with the trade.
Now, you're talking four running backs who made massive impacts in the National Football League. No other franchise has drafted better running backs. Now, you could go down the line of a thing like, you think of great running backs throughout history, like Walter Payton. All right, give me another good Bear running back. There's not. Lions, Barry Sanders, and Billy Sims, right? So Billy Sims wasn't comparable to the four we're talking about with the Titans.
Matt Forte with the Bears. Don't forget that.
He's good, but he's not good. That level. He's not the level of Eddie George and Chris Johnson, those guys. I mean, there are good running backs. Titans had four great running backs. Earl, Eddie, Chris Johnson, Derrick Henry. Two of those went over for 2,000 yards. Earl Campbell is just an amazing running back. We know how good Eddie was. So there's nobody comes close. There's not another organization that's drafted. And that's something, but again, end of the day, how many Super Bowls have you won?
Right.
And this is only the Super Bowl era. I mean, I know Jim Brown and all those guys back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s were still great, and I get all that. But in the Super Bowl era, nobody's.
So this was an article in 2021 that the Titans have had the most 1,000-yard rushers since the year 2000.
Interesting.
And they've probably done it. So since 2000, so Eddie, Chris Brown did it 1 year.
That's right.
Chris Johnson. Did Travis Henry have? I think Travis Henry had one.
Might have.
I'll look. Derek.
Did DeMarco Murray do that?
DeMarco Murray. Derek. And then Pollard's done it the last 2 years.
That's crazy, isn't it? What a crazy stat.
In 2021, it was 16.
So you've had, Pollard's had two more as he's been here.
So that's 18.
Did Derek do it in 22 and 23? I think
it was 22.
He did.
It was 22 the year he got hurt.
21.
21. So yeah. So 22 and 23, he did.
So you had four more of that list. That's pretty good.
That's.
I mean, we're talking drafted running back. Now, you could go like drafted wide receivers. Who's had the more impactful ones? I'd have to go deep dive and all that. Just think about, you go to the top receiver and who had the compliment with him. Like Jerry Rice, who did the Niners have anybody? That Terrell was pretty good. But, I mean, the Titans, Oilers/, have had four great running backs, have drafted better running backs than anybody else.
So, Earl Campbell did it. Eddie did it. Did Warren Moon rush for 1,000?
Quarterback?
Yeah.
No.
No? Okay. He's on this list.
Is he?
Well, no. His picture was. I guess it's a different list. Chris Johnson. I'm just trying to think of total 1,000-yard rushers, how many they've had.
Don't forget Bishop Sankey.
I think most people have tried
that. He's not there anymore. But, I mean, they've done some things in the past. But, again, at the end of the day, you've been to one Super Bowl. Since the Super Bowl started, you've been to one Super Bowl, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and thank God the Browns and the Lions are still out there because they've never been. And there's other teams that have been once or twice. Falcons have been twice, never won. Carolina's been twice, never won. Is that anybody else? I mean, the other teams, Texans have never been. So that's what you look at as far as going on. So anyway, you got some things that – a little history there that luck be a lady tonight, man, when you get the draft going.
Luck be a lady tonight. That is a good one.
It is, pal.
615-737-1025. We'll have more coming here in just a few minutes. Chasing Big Joe, 1025 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. Mike Borgonzi addressed the media earlier today and talked about what he's looking for with a coach and all of that. He got into Cam Ward a little bit, but mainly everything was about the head coach. Nothing groundbreaking. I mean, he's one of those guys that he's not going to say a whole lot. He wants to keep his cards close to the vest, which is fine. I really don't have an issue with that. But
he met the media. He took questions. He made a quick opening statement and talked and answered a lot of things that were thrown out there. A lot of information was shared, and I think it's good. I think the transparency is wonderful for Mike Borgonzi because we're all pushing the same way. We all want this team to succeed. Just let us know what's going on.
Yep. Here's a little bit of what he had to say when talking about what they need in a head coach.
Well, that's certainly the goal. Anytime anybody, you know, gets in front of a microphone, we're representing Amy in this organization. So, and to your other point, we've done a lot of work here on these candidates, and we intend to bring in the right coach for this team long term. That's going to work with us to grow this team, to get it better, to really instill a culture here. That's what we need, Paul. We need a leader that's going to show up here every day here to work and really just instill that belief, instill the attention to detail, the accountability piece that we need here, and the unity piece to bring everything together here in this organization. So I do feel really good about the process that we've gone through to identify some of these candidates. And that's the goal. That's the intention, you know, to get a head coach in here that's going to be here for the long term and to win a lot of games.
Do we think that now that there is a more traditional front office setup, we know it's him, we know he's the guy that's calling the shots, you know, and reporting to Amy, that some of the Amy questions might go away?
Oh, that's a great
one. For now.
I still think it would be nice to hear from her at some point.
And I agree. We're not going to, but I would agree that, you know, even, and it's, I'll probably take some responsibility for this. I think it's our fault because I think we bullied her out of doing interviews with, you know, at the time, Mike Keith, but you know, it's just like, now it's nothing. You know, she does prepared statements and, you know, it's truly just out. But at the same time, maybe that's what it needs to be.
Sure.
And if Borgonzi's answering the questions and Borgonzi's doing the right things, then to me, it won't be as big of a deal that she's absentee. And then when things get good again, if she's showing up more and shaking hands and kissing babies, then fine.
Look, we were with her in Kansas City during the AFC Championship game. She couldn't have been more pleasant.
I've met her three or four times, and she's always been very, very nice.
I mean, she was in the middle of the tailgate. And and that's what owners should do because you're winning things, but just don't disappear when the bad things happen.
And don't meddle when they're not going. Like, again, and I would love – I think the thing that and the majority may not care about this, but, like, I still would like for her to have a bit of a mea culpa on – you know, why she fired John when she did.
Sure.
What happened with Vrabel. Yeah. You know, answer some of those questions. At this point, they don't necessarily matter anymore. But I still would like to know
from
her perspective.
Again, and I still think she reached out and said, what do people think about us? And I think somebody came back to her, I don't know who it is, and said.
And said.
It's chaos.
Yeah.
There's no clear. And then, boom, there's that thing last Friday, which happened to come out before Black Monday. And say, here's how things are run now. And it cleared up a lot of things. Now you know who's in charge, who's in control, like every other team around the league.
One of the most important jobs that the next head coach is going to have is the continued development of Cam Ward at quarterback. This was Borgonzi when asked about developing Cam.
Cam's first season, how important is to find a coach, a staff that can help him develop?
Yeah, no. What I think of his first season, I think he went through a ton of adversity, and I think he battled through it and he got better. The coach we're looking for on that side of the ball, whether it be the head coach, if an offensive coach or just the offensive coordinator, is to help him develop more, and really to find a coach that can really accentuate some of the strengths of the players. You're always looking for that, you know, Jim. A coach, really good coaches know their personnel, know their players, and what do they do well, and how do you put them in the best position to win? So, you know, we're looking for someone that can, you know, really look at Cam, and this is what he does well, and this is what our receivers do well, this is what our running backs do well. So that's what we're looking for.
That was Mike Borgonzi. By the way, when we were talking about 1,000-yard rushers for the Titans, we forgot one. Lendale White.
In 07?
Yeah.
He had 1,000 yards.
He had 1,100.
Wow. Fisher loved him so much. Do you remember when his – I don't know if you know this story – for his pro day, I think he pulled up with a bunch of dudes, got out. I don't know if he didn't run or pulled a hamstring and left. And then they took him second round.
Yep. The Vince draft, 06.
The Vince draft.
They took Vince first and then Lindell.
VY, round. My guy.
VY is my guy. Look, you got to develop Cam Ward. However that looks, you as a play caller, bringing in a play caller, what have you, that's got to be the continued development. One question that did pop at me is this one. When he was asked, what makes the Titans' job attractive?
Six job openings right now around the league, Mike. Why, in your opinion, is this job an attractive one for prospective candidates?
Because I think we have some really good people in the building, people that are respected throughout the league, in the front office here. I think we have a young rookie quarterback that is ascending. Obviously, be a second-year player next year. I think we have a young nucleus of players that you can build on here, that have started to kind of build this culture the way we want it to be. Jeff Simmons. I mean, who wouldn't want to coach Jeff Simmons on defense? You know, we have the city of Nashville, you know. Really, I mean, it's a great place to live. And we have a new stadium coming. So there's a lot of really good positive things to come here. But the first thing is the people in the building. We have, you know, a lot of experience here throughout the building, a lot of good people, and we have, you know, support from our ownership group, and Amy supports us in everything that we do here. So, those are really the reasons why I think, you know, this will be a really attractive place for a coach.
Besides it being one of 32, is this an attractive job?
Yes.
Do you agree with the absolutely things he threw out there?
Absolutely. It is.
Yeah.
What he just said.
But he also in that, I think he told you something without telling you something. He ain't trading Jeff Simmons.
Say it now, but you gave me an offer. Look,
maybe.
You know this. Everybody's got a price, brother.
For the $1 million man.
Everybody's got a price. You make me an offer that could benefit my football team in wonderful ways.
Sure. But I think they truly view him. And well, okay, so let me ask you this. Let's say you're a potential head coach. In your interview, when you get to the spot where you're asking questions, would you not ask, like, you know, is Jeff Simmons somebody you plan to keep here? I mean, I'm asking that.
Right.
Because to me, there's not a whole lot that makes – it is an attractive job, but there's not a whole lot that makes it attractive, and he's a part of that, that you have a game-wrecking defensive tackle that – that the offense has to respect, and if they don't, it's going to bite them. He's going to get to the quarterback. So I'm going to ask about that.
Still went 3-14 2 years in a row.
You did.
Right? If Jeff Simmons is on the team, you're still 3-14.
Sure.
You make me an offer, and you could build my team. And I look around, and I'm thinking, all right, I got some really bad players here. I got a really exceptional player. I could trade this exceptional player and get four or five things back that I could build upon. Yeah, absolutely. So I would not be surprised. I'm telling you. So I think somebody should make them an offer in the offseason that blows them away, that spins their mind around and goes.
Does Cam Ward make this an attractive job?
He needs a lot of work, but yeah. Now we got 17 games on him.
Yeah.
16 and a half or 16 and a third.
And look, it's not awful. It's not great.
Right, but look who – I said, look who was around him.
Yeah. Right. Show me what it looks like with a competent roster around him. And again, you know, I like to say this, every coach has an ego.
Right.
And there's going to – what you have to hope is you find that coach that's like, no, I really want to coach this kid. Like, I really think I can make him into what he truly can be.
All right.
And that it's not just lip service.
All right, Rob asked this question. Put Cam Ward – switch Cam Ward and Drake May. Are the Patriots doing what they're doing?
It's a really good question because you got a good offensive line with a rookie left tackle that's going to be your cornerstone on the offensive line for a long time.
Name me a receiver on the Patriots.
Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
You have a stud receiver in Diggs. You have a pretty good run game, like with a couple of different guys.
Right.
You have a stifling defense. Which look, that's just as important as having a go-to receiver. I think people don't realize how important that is. If you have a defense that, you know, because what's the old saying? Defense wins championships.
Yes, they do.
So, I mean, to me, that should be what the Titans really need to look at is you make this defense just a badass defense where nobody wants to play them.
All right. Answer the question.
That's going to help him. Yeah, probably. I think
it's a tough one, right?
It's a tough one.
Drake, it really is.
I think Drake May is better than him.
Yes,
but I think.
But Drake May also went through hell last year in 24.
I mean, think they could be a playoff team.
The snot knocked out of him, and he learned. He got things around him, which built him up. Which, and you see what they are: 13-4 or 14-3, whatever they are.
I think they could be a playoff team.
Yep,
with those pieces around. What do you say, Dr. Crane?
I'm not in the camp of that. I think Cam Ward does not elevate the Patriots at all.
Okay. So you think – do you think they'd miss – like with
– Yeah, I think they'd miss the playoffs.
Even with their current pieces around him.
Yeah. If that is the case, it would be a wild card spot. Like we're talking one of the last seeds to get into the playoff. I'm not in the camp of Cam Ward of getting the Patriots over the hump. Now, nonetheless, don't get me wrong, Cam Ward's a good quarterback, but I don't think he would elevate that team to the nth degree.
Yeah, well, I'm not. I don't think Joe's necessarily saying that they'd elevate the team. Just you're just. It's a straight swap. Like, yeah, what would it look like?
No, thank you.
Okay.
I still think that they're a winning football program, but they're not in the same.
Yeah.
Upper echelon where they're at right now.
I mean, look, does Drake May get you two or three more wins if you put him on this team?
No,
I don't think so.
I think the talent is so bad around him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so bad. And Vrabel built that offensive line, man, in a smothering defense. But straight up, I don't think Cam is as good as Drake May. But all we know about Drake May is what we see now, right? I mean, it's a hypothetical that's really – there's no explanation for. So I got this for you. I just went down this list, PFF, top free agents hitting the market in March.
Okay.
You'll like this because – it's not what I thought I would be seeing.
Okay. We'll look at this coming up next. Chasing Big Joe on this Tuesday, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. DVD coming your way in about 30 minutes. All right, so you've pulled up free agents from PFF.
Yeah, 2026 NFL free agency. Early look at the top graded players set to hit the market. The theme is... some of these guys are old.
Yeah.
All right. Number one guy is running back Kenneth Walker of Seattle.
Oh, so wow.
He's great. He's they have a category for missing tackles on him, which is on another level. He's cleared 50 missed tackles in every full season of his career. He's pace hit that threshold again this year, one of the league's most consistently punishing runners. Running back. Number two, Khalil Mack. Right, he's been around a long time.
How old is he? Like 33,
something,
34?
Yeah, he's number two on the list.
Still a good player.
Number three, Tyler Allgeier, Atlanta 34. Falcons, as a running back.
Yeah, he's not bad.
He's going to get lost behind Bijan Robinson, needs his own place to go, and he's a good guy at missing tackles. Number three, safety Jabril Peppers, Pittsburgh Steelers. When they want to sign him, he's doing pretty good. They have a nice year.
I think safety might actually be the one spot that they're they're okay on. You got Kevin Winston in one spot, and then
I think Hooker's not. I don't think he's that good.
Yeah. Okay. You could upgrade there.
Trey Hendrickson.
Oh,
Bengals. Okay. He's old though.
Yeah, but I'd throw something at him.
Is he a Vannon Bosch 2.0?
I thought he had a year left.
It says what he is here. This is according to PFF, not me.
He's probably what, 31?
At least, yep. But his number's there. He's trailing only Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, Aiden Hutchinson, and Will Anderson Jr.
I'm good, man.
So, all right. Bobby Wagner, he's been around a while. 36 years old going out. DeMario Davis.
Trey Hendrickson, I would be interested in.
Okay. DeMario Davis, Saints linebacker. Not bad.
If I'm the
Saints, I keep him. I watched him hawk guys 2 weeks ago here in town. Mike Evans, Tampa.
Pause.
No thanks.
No thanks on my. Yeah, DeMario Davis is 36, but still, I'd look at it.
Yeah.
Who was the other one? I'm sorry.
Mike Evans.
No.
I mean, these guys are old.
No.
Right? I mean, it's up there if you're a quarterback, but, I mean, you're interior lineman getting that age. Quarterback Jamal Dean from the Buccaneers. They've got him highly rated. Great lockdown rate of him.
they couldn't do any worse than what they got right now.
Number 10, linebacker Leo Chanel, Kansas City Chiefs. He's been in the league since 2022. It'll be in his fifth year. He's an efficient finisher, too. Good tackles. Crosses up and down the field pretty good. Good pass coverage. And then your guy, number 11, Chase, George Pickens from the Cowboys.
I like Pickens.
Why?
Well, he's worked in the Cowboys offense. Now, I think having CeeDee Lamb on the other side has helped that because you got to respect that.
Sure.
But he gets open. He wasn't good in Pittsburgh. Underachieved in Pittsburgh.
Right. 13, Calais Campbell. He's old. He'll be 40.
Calais Campbell?
Yeah. Number 14 is DeAndre Hopkins. No thanks.
No.
Najee Harris, running back, is 16th out there. Devin Bush, linebacker. Here's where the list gets really dumb. Number 18, top free agent, Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Running back, Raheem Mostert. The running back from the Raiders. God, we're terrible. And there are 20s, Debo Samuel. So, yeah, you're not going to be looking a lot of help there in free agency as far as an impact player goes. But, again, you could fill in some needs here and there with guys who can contribute. But as far as a superstar, you're not going to find that right there.
No, again, free agency is meant to be.
Even more, trade Jeffrey Simmons and get all the players.
Yeah, but free agency is meant to be you're supplementing what you don't build in the draft.
So right now, Titans are guaranteed 3 of the top 100 players because of where you're the draft.
Yep.
You're fourth, and fourth. So if you could get 6 of the top 100 players, I mean, that you're still getting 6 guys in the 3 rounds, man, which I think is just absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, and I'm curious. Let's see. So Jordan Reed did a mock draft today.
Jordan, I love that guy.
Mendoza to the Raiders. Dante Moore, if he hits the draft, to the Jets at 2. Francis Maiuga, the tackle out of Miami. He's pretty good. To Arizona at 3. And Arvell Reese, edge rusher from the Ohio State. To the 2-tone.
Give me Ruben.
I want Ruben Bay.
And now there's this knock. Look, this is what they do, right? Well, he's got short arms. Okay. He's still rushing passer pretty good. So let's go and get somebody who fits the bill but doesn't have the drive of Ruben Bain. That's how you get in the situation you are now.
You know where they have Ruben Bain going?
The Jags at 9. I don't know.
At 9, yes. Kansas City. You put him with Chris Jones.
Come on. They're gonna come back in a massive way.
Oh, I know.
Surprised they're not going after a running back, Jeremiah Love.
They have this mock draft has Love going the pick before to the Saints. I think Love could be a top 10 guy. Now, I wouldn't take him at 4. I'd be tempted, but I wouldn't do it. What they have right now, and this is going to change probably 18 times between now and the draft, is Reese with the Titans, Carnell Tate going to the Giants, wide receiver from Ohio State, and Jordan Tyson, the wide receiver from Arizona State, going to the Browns. If, I mean, right now, today, not looking at doing the research and the combine and all that stuff, if the Titans ended up with one of those three guys, I think everybody would be okay.
I just, we'll see. And there's so many, I'm just looking through all this. There's so many holes they got to fill with
looking at that. There's a lot of Ohio State players coming out too.
Yeah, don't get Chris Sanders started.
Yeah. No, but that's the thing. There are a ton of holes they got to fill. And, you know, we talked about it last year. We can't do it in one offseason. Okay, look at the draft last year. What do you feel good about?
They added some playmakers.
I know, but like, get like specifically, Cam, I'd say is a work in progress, yeah. but I'm okay with it.
Got your punt returner for next decade.
Right now, you've completely whiffed on the second round pick in Oladejo.
Terrible. Terrible.
Who was third? Was that Winston? I think it was Winston. I feel good about that right now.
Okay. I got to see more from him.
I feel sure, but I still feel good about it. I feel good about the 3 4th rounders with the two receivers and Gunnar Helm.
Mm-hmm.
Feel really good about those. Who's the fifth?
I don't remember.
It was, if I can remember, Jackson Slater, we don't know. Marcus Harris, I mean, I think he's been serviceable. And then Khalil Mullins, don't really know.
Yeah, I want to see more Jackson Slater. If he could, look,
yeah,
I would get him too. In there at your guard. He was supposed to be a guy that steamrolls guys, pancakes guys. I want to see what he could do. I mean, he drafted him fifth. So might as well see what he got in a player like that.
And then I feel good about Cedric Gray, who was not Borgonti,
yeah,
but
right.
I mean, he's a good player.
All over the field, man, yep. Making things happen.
So, again, you know, you're going to have to revisit edge. I mean, Oladejo could have a big jump. The game he got hurt in, we were there, it was the Raiders game. He was actually playing pretty well. But he's got to take a big jump. And then I agree, Kevin Winston showed some flashes but needs to continue to take steps forward. And then what you got with DK Helm and Io Manor and then Jackson Slater, could you see more from him? I mean, do they just go ahead and throw him into the Wolves and say he's the starting guard?
Why not? Zeitler, get him out of here.
Well, he's on a one-year deal.
Good.
So
here's a one-year ticket out of here, pal. Get out of here.
Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. Chasing Big Joe on this Tuesday, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. DVD coming up next. They'll continue to react to Mike Borgonzi and what he had to say earlier today. And then tomorrow, I'm going to leave it to you two and Brando will join.
Brando!
Well. We'll do some suit stuff tomorrow and let you guys have a good time.
Thanks, buddy.
So, Dr. Crane, don't wreck the Porsche.
I'll do my best not to. Just make sure to put new tires on it.
I know you will.
And don't get chased by a killer pimp named Guido. It's from a movie that you boys need to watch. That nobody. Mm-hmm. That's one of the greatest movies of all, called Risky Business.
Oh, I've seen Risky Business.
With Mr. Cruz.
That was like his breakout role.
Great movie.
With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
Okay, first on the list, Apple Tree Day. So, there you go, Apple Tree. Cuddle Day is next, Cuddle Up Day.
Nice.
National Bean Day is today. Hmm. Epiphany Day, so those that celebrate the Epiphany.
You dated her once, right?
That's right. Yeah, and she said her name was Destiny. Huh. It was Epiphany.
Not Stephanie?
No.
National King Cake Day is today. A little early for that. But
Never.
Too early.
Yeah,
for
I thought that was
cake.
Around Mardi Gras.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Huh. National Shortbread Day is today.
No shortbreads.
National Smith Day.
Now, what's the picture in that?
It's a guy in, I guess, a tuxedo shirt with a bow tie and some.
Just the surname Smith? Is that what we're doing?
I guess so.
All right.
National Take a Poet to Lunch Day.
Ugh.
National.
We take a pogue to lunch day, but not a poet.
Same thing.
That counts. National Take Down Your Christmas Tree Day. That normally is done on the Epiphany. National Technology Day and World Day of War of Orphans. So there you go.
All right. Thank you there, Dr. Crane. Time for celebrity birthdays. Brought to you by possibly you.
Together at CromwellMedia.com.
All right, here we go. Chase McCabe, you start off first because Dr. Green did yesterday. Lou Holtz. How old is Lou Holtz?
Oh, I go? Sorry, yes, I wasn't paying attention.
That's all right.
Lou Holtz, 86.
88.
89.
Wow, good job.
Good job there, Dr. Crane.
You know, Ryan Day hates Lou Holtz. I don't know if you knew that.
That's right.
Yep.
Lou Holtz would beat Ryan Day's ass. Dr. Crane, you're up next. Nancy Lopez, great golfer.
62.
It's pretty good. I'll go a little older. 65.
69. Nice. Chaser, Paul Azinger.
What did Paul Azinger do?
Golf.
Golf, okay. 64.
72.
66. Chase up for 1-0. Dr. Crane, please get this right. My all-time favorite football player, my muse, my hero, Howie Long.
67. And it's 1-1, by the way, Joe.
Yeah, I'm sorry, 1-1. I see it.
What'd you say? You said
67.
63.
65. That's a push.
Oh, dang.
Chaser, former Giants punter Sean Landetta. He has the famous punt where he missed the punt and rolled off the side of his foot in the wind. I think it's versus the Bears.
57.
50.
64. Dr. Crane, Charles Haley.
I'm going to go 75.
Cowboys. And then 49ers before that. 63.
62. Chase up 2-1. Dr. Crane, Gabby Reese, volleyball player. Beautiful.
55.
34. 56. Tied at 2.
Nice, Dr. Crane.
Chaser, Keenan McCardell, former receiver for the Jaguars.
I think it's McCardell.
He goes, Mama called him McCardell. I call him McCardell.
Okay. So not Cliff's cousin?
No.
55.
57.
56. Another push. Dang. Dr. Crane, Asante Samuel.
33.
Senior, right?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, give him another guess because there's two of them.
All right, go ahead.
58.
56.
45. Chaser, AJ Hawk.
48.
36.
42. Dr. Crane, Gilbert Arenas.
42.
44.
44, exactly. Chase up 4-2. Chase, Jameis Winston.
Eat some dubs. famous Jameis is 35.
34.
32. Dang. It's 4-3. Dr. Crane, Mr. Bean, Rowan Atkinson.
Oh, that's a tough one. 63.
73.
71. Chase is up 5-3. Chase, Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead. He's the one who had the bow and arrow.
Oh, I've never seen a single episode.
Anyway.
48.
52.
57. Dr. Crane, Julie Chen, the host of Survivor and Big Brother or whatever it is.
Big Brother.
Big Brother.
60.
62.
55. Chaser, Kate McKinnon from SNL.
42.
45.
42 exactly. 73. We're not done. We're going to run through these real quick. Chase, country singer Jet Williams, who is Hank's junior sister that he doesn't talk to.
44.
43.
73.
Nice.
Dr. Crane, actor Danny Pataro from Who's the Boss? He was the kid on Who's the Boss.
40.
53.
He is 50. Finally, the lead singer of the Arctic Monkeys, Chase, singer Alex Turner.
42.
47.
40. That's it. Chase wins 8-3.
Well done.
Back good, on the winning effort, side though. Of things.
Good effort.
Speaking of 8-3, hope the Preds win 8-3 tonight.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Pre-game coverage will begin at 7 o'clock. The puck drop just after 8 here on 102.5 The Game. I'll have that pregame coverage for you. We'll talk to Pete. We'll talk to Max and Hal. Eustace Onanen gets a contract extension, which was nice.
Right.
And Max will talk to UC Soros.
And they're back home Thursday, correct?
Yes, against the – I think it's the Islanders. So they're home Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday.
Goodness.
I think that's right.
Well done. Hey, again, in 2026, we are tripling down on our message for men's mental health. I'm telling you, if you're going through something, please reach out. Please go to therapy. Please talk to somebody. I'm telling you, our world is a better place. We say it all the time, and please don't let this fall on deaf ears. I mean, this is our world's a better place because you're here. Look, every day's not perfect. Every day's not special. I get that. We got to fight sometimes. But know that there are people around you that care about you, that love you. And again, I need you to go to – I need you to walk your daughter down the aisle. I need you to hold your grandbaby. I need you here because, again, our world's a better place because you are here. Reach out if you're talking to somebody. I know the journey some days is rough and it's tough. I get that. But talking – saved my life, and I want the same for you because you're special. Reach out to us anytime. I've talked to people 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't care because once I know you reach out to me, you're making that effort and know that we love you. So again, we love you more importantly more than anything else in this world. Please know this. Please know that God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD is coming your way next, and we'll be back at it tomorrow at noon right here on 102.5 The Game.